Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Tallman. It's March 11th, 2025. This is No Spin Rodeo with a debut of being live video on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, we are going to make our best effort to be live on YouTube every Tuesday night at 4:30 Pacific, 6:30 Central. We don't know if that'll exactly happen, but welcome to No Spin Rodeo if you're a podcaster or if you're a YouTuber. We're pretty excited about this. You will want to go to YouTube and watch this because you'll get to see a lot of cool pictures that you can only visually stimulate in your mind while podcasting. Welcome the team on the production now, even doing more production, Greg Teagarden. And of course, our wonderful co-host, Ms. Kendra Santos. Good afternoon, everybody. I feel a little frazzled, but here we are.
Deadlines wait for no man. And every single day is like this for us. It's all good. We're lucky.
Lucky to be busy. Lucky to be busy.
Exactly.
Well, so the one thing that I want to let all the listeners know is when we decided to go weekly, because we have a lot of listeners, and we're very, very thankful for that. We have a huge audience, and we're really thankful for that. And we were getting, I would say, a good amount of pressure for us to go weekly, which trying to figure out how to work into our schedules, we haven't actually figured that out yet, but we've committed to trying to go weekly, live on video and live on the podcast. So in doing that, as you know, Kendra and I have a lot to say about stuff. And so we decided to kind of split the typical podcast up into two. And one episode will be rodeo news and chit chat about things that are going on. And then the next episode will be when we do our, you know, how we do our point of views. We'll call it crossfire. We'll take a whole episode and we'll just talk about one topic. And we hope, this is a hope, so do not hold your breath because you will pass out. We hope to try to keep these somewhere underneath 45 minutes total. Maybe it's 30, something that you can pop in, watch, because I think you're really going to want to watch this on YouTube. This is really, really good. And we're super excited. So I wanted to kind of tell everybody what was going on and not assume that our podcast listeners knew what was going on. And if you are one of the first to watch us live on YouTube, hello, welcome to No Spin Rodeo. This is episode 49. And Kendra, why don't you tell us what's going on in rodeo a little bit? Let's start it off with catching up. It's been a while since we found out what's happening.
Well, I think the headline for most people in our rodeo world at this moment is this $2.5 million plus record payoff at Houston, right? And I don't know about you, but I have all Houston episodes set to record on the Cowboy Channel. So if I'm too busy to do it this moment, before I go to bed tonight, I will watch the next round of this next super series. So a thing that stands out at Houston that's pretty cool is after 31 years of working there, and I see he's still there in some capacity, the man in the green hat, Leon Coffey, is the Rodeo Houston Hall of Fame's Lone Ranger in this year's class of 2025, which is a pretty cool honor. Last year's inaugural class included Charmaine James, Bob Tallman, Mike Servi, and now here's Leon, you know, Army veteran, funny man, NFR bullfighter and barrelman, Leon Coffey. You know, what a day in the sun for him. And I know he's still there, but it's, you know, John Harrison is in the arena now. And I just, you know, I saw him inducted in Oklahoma City at the National Cowboy Museum last November. And these are some encore, you know, curtain calls that this guy deserves, right? So we don't know rodeo without this Leon Coffey. And he's got a lot of stories to tell. Surely you are old friends with Leon Coffey, right?
Yeah, you know, So this goes back, a lot of you won't remember this, but I do think it's interesting that Leon Coffey was born in Blanco, Texas in 1954. But I remember, it was a Bob Barnes rodeo, and I was there with Dad, and Dad said, "Oh, there's some weird bullfighters here," and he was working the barrel, and he said, "They call them Salt and Pepper." And that's what they called themselves back then, Salt and Pepper. And it was Leon Coffey and I believe Mike Moore. And Leon had just, I remember him telling Dad, he just like retired from riding bulls and decided to fight bulls. And then of course, if you've seen Leon, you know, Leon, it's interesting. I think Leon is only one of three people, I'm pretty sure this is right, that have fought bulls and been in the barrel at the Wrangler NFR. That's quite a statement. And if you remember the old Leon, back when he was young and very, very fast, he would get in front of a fighting bull and do a dance, and they would play the music, you know, whether it was a horn or whatever, and he would do the splits and then ratchet himself back up in front of the bull. And I remember my dad commenting one of these times that I'll leave out the next, well, you know, that guy's going to get KO'd doing that. But Leon, fantastic entertainer. And I'll tell you what was the coolest thing about it, and still the coolest thing about Leon. Leon will lift your spirits, whether you're a fan or behind the chutes. Leon has an incredible attitude for life. And it kind of permeates through his soul. So all of the credits that Leon's getting, he definitely deserves, and I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see that he's still a part of Rodeo Houston, that they've got him involved. And so congrats, Pepper.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. And I mean, in my lifetime, Mertis Dykeman had to ride bulls after the rodeo because he was black, you know? And I remember the first time I ever interviewed Leon Coffey, and he shared with me some absolute scars of war from serving in the army that were really, really hard on him. And the fact that he's made a life of making people happy and lifting people up is pretty interesting when you figure that he came from some pretty tough times. So anyway, you know, thanks for his service to our country and to our sport. I think on the contestant side of Houston, great watching, of course, quite a production. A sweep at Houston this year would be worth $74,000. That's, you know, part of this record payoff. That's wild. You know, you can get out of your super series with $9,000 and 65,000 to the champs. That's where it will kick in for someone who wins Houston, at least one person. You know, remember the rodeo minimum to get to the NFR? There will be people who will be, I've got to go to, you know, X many rodeos. Remember what was the last person we talked about? This was what, Casey Field?
Yep.
He won so much money and he had to, you know, scratch and claw to get to that minimum number of rodeos to be eligible for the NFR. Anyway, one of the people that who just won his super series, Zeke Thurston, I get a kick out of these contestants with their guitar strumming, and they're all trying to figure out exactly how to be different or whatever. And I don't have a shot of, but I watched the video of Zeke. And he put the guitar down about his shins and kind of did the twist with the guitar. But you know, four-time world champ and five-time Canadian champ, and you know, trying to win another one, but doing some kind of special Zeke dance out there. It's fun to watch. Anyway, I just returned from this is sort of random, but typical Kendra. A meeting at Salinas at the rodeo. And I have been, Jeter Lawrence, you know, got hurt so badly earlier this year, the bull rider who just made his first NFR in December at Tulsa, the last pro rodeo at Tulsa, which was home to the NFR all those years ago. Anyway, he has a very long road back. And I kind of was a little bit blue leaving that meeting, and I had to walk over. I have a lifetime of memories in that arena. And I got a kick out of the fact that it was, there's grass in it. It looks kind of like Pendleton right now. But I was walking over to the Hall of Fame. Look at that Pendleton-esque California rodeo. Anyway, it'll be plowed up come the third week of July. But I went over to the wall for the Hall of Fame at Salinas. There's a wall of plaques, and I went over and kind of wiped the dust off of, you know, we just lost a few months ago. I lost my dad, and then. Now we just lost Jack Roddy, one of his greatest friends. And you know, kind of went over there and kind of looked at those smiles, and, you know, it was so sweet. But what lifted me up was seeing that they have like I've seen this at Reno, and now I'm seeing it at Salinas. It's really cool. There's Jack and my dad and Johnny Jones, all Hall of Famers at Salinas. But they have a monument to last year's winners. And what the name that jumped off the little monument was Jeter Lawrence. And I thought, man, you know, I wonder if I could make his day. So I took a picture of it, and then I asked my media friend, Mandy, to send me a picture. The Salinas buckle is one of the most cherished, coveted, sought-after buckles in all of rodeo, and has been forever, for as long as I can remember. So anyway, happy healing. It's a long road, and it's a hard road for Jeter, but you know, there he is, and he's not one to smile much, but that was a great day in this young man's life, you know, making his first NFR at 19 years old. And so I hope that, you know, lifts him up a little bit as he's back in Oklahoma working so hard to get back to where he can keep living a great life. So anyway, continued thoughts, because, you know, we talk about these things when they happen, and then we tend to go about our busy lives. And so thoughts for him. The Women's Professional Rodeo Association has new leadership, and I don't yet personally know. The new president is Heidi Uecker-Schmidt, and my understanding is that she was a longtime Badlands circuit director and served as vice president under Jimmy Monroe. And then the new vice president is Julie Herman from the Wilderness Circuit. And I just learned something that I wasn't aware of until last night, I think it was, from the Angeloni sisters, that breakaway ropers have a rodeo count limit of 80 for the first time in their short history as, you know, really getting in the full-time rodeo mix. And apparently, this was so many more rodeos than I expected to hear, but in 2024, there were about right at 500 professional rodeos that had breakaway roping. I thought that was interesting because that was so many more than I expected. And I know more are adding it all the time. And thankfully, so many of them equal money also. One of these days, I'm not going to be able to hold myself. We're going to have to talk about equal money in the team roping, which still hasn't happened. But I do applaud this for the women. And I feel like isn't it National Women's Month? But I'm always applauding, you know, cowgirls and having another event so that, you know, for all those years, if you weren't a barrel racer, you know, your career was mostly over after college. So this is great news. The barrel racers of note have 100 rodeo count limit, and the breakaway ropers 80. But, you know, there's all these different reasons, you know, including, well, we don't want it to be a traveling contest and different things, and trying to maintain a profit margin and trying to make it possible for people to actually have lives outside of a truck. Right. I mean, there's all these, I don't know what your feelings exactly on rodeo counts, but quite a conversation.
I think it's silly for the association to dictate what someone wants to do. If someone wants to go get in a truck and travel 14 million miles and max out their credit card, Kendra, because they want to win a gold buckle, then they should be allowed to. Now, the flip side, what I like about it is that it encourages participation and probably spreads out talented people at different rodeos that may not get them. Just like you said, if you win $74,000 in Houston, you can coast for a while. Well, you better not coast for too long, because you got to hit that rodeo count, which means those guys are going and entering rodeos and their names are getting seen. So I can argue both sides of it. I'm pretty freedom oriented, right? If someone wants to go rodeo their butt off, I don't think it's the association's job to tell them that they can't.
It's not the association picking these rodeo counts. It's the each event. The guys vote. And so
I know they do, but I think someone told them, whose idea was it to put, do you think that the contestants care? Like the average contestant cares about rodeo counts? I'm sure they'd rather not deal with it and just go rodeo and win enough money to go to the NFR.
I don't have that same feedback from my cowboy friends.
Oh, they like the rodeo counts.
Well, an awful lot of them do. Yes.
Okay. And, now, why do they like them?
Part of the conversation is that they don't want rodeo to become, a rich kid's sport. And they won't, and if you start going to 250 rodeos, your profit margin is going to be really, really tricky. But, I'm like you. So often when we get into these conversations, I feel like if we were attorneys and we flipped a coin, we could argue both sides. But it's there because, the Cowboys made it so. So let's not act like the PRCA decided that this was going to happen, right?
I got one question. What is the advantage of 100 or 80? Is it just the way that the contestants feel that they're going to run that year? Because I would think as a rodeo contestant, you would, don't want to run yourself ragged, but there's a sweet number there. I was just wondering why there would be a difference between the two events.
Well, I understood they did a survey and the contestants decided. I don't know why, Greg. Do you know why there would be less breakaways than barrel racing, Kendra? Any ideas?
I don't know why they chose that. I just know that it's chosen event by event. I have a that's my understanding. So anyway, you wanted to add to go for it.
I just think it's pretty darn cool. So we all know how great Stetson is. At the time when he was injured at the Great Lakes Circuit, I don't think any of us, because he was pretty private about it, really, understood the extent of his injury. And then we find out kind of after the fact that, he was being told you're probably not going to ride again. And it popped up that he's leading the all around and leading the bull riding. And I've watched him ride bulls. His bull riding is incredible. Really everything he does is incredible. But so I was interested. He's already leading the all around and the bull riding. And by the way, in case you didn't know it, there's rodeos that he couldn't enter, right? He had to be a standby, a walk up to get into these. And Stetson Wright is now currently won, 100 and something thousand dollars combined, 46 in the all around, 55 in the bull riding on 11 rodeos. Watch out, boys.
Well, it's wild, but it's so Stetson. And that guy, bottom line, he will not take no for an answer, right? And so the walk up replace thing, like at Fort Worth and San Antonio, for people that are like, well, how did he get into those when he sat out last year and he wasn't in the top, cut to get into the rodeo with the limits and all that limited entries? But he walk up replaced. If the same way he's going to be there, what's going to be really interesting if he does what he does and just mucks everybody out, like where he's got, exponentially more money won, will the all-around race, will more people pull up? Because it's quite the financial and, effort commitment to do that, to work a second event, as we all know. So that's interesting. But anyway, Stetson Wright, hardly a shocker, right? The guy's just extraordinary.
Do you see who's number two? Wacy?
Wacy. Yeah.
You know what I thought was fun is we've been seeing Wacy Shala in you know, in the bareback riding too. And I think so many people were like, well, you know, how good is he at this second event? Well, it looks like he's pretty darn good, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fun. What is he, 19? You know?
Yeah. The young up-and-comers in the bareback riding all over the place. You know, I think the schools and the process of helping these kids become better in high school, college rodeo is paying off, because we're seeing rookies that are coming in much more fine-tuned than we have in the past, and immediately being a contender in a round. When, you know, you kind of had to give them a year, almost like a rookie in the NFL. They sign those people and you don't expect to actually see them play unless they're just superstars. And the only other thing on Jack Rodney, the one thing that, not only was he a fantastic person, and I think I met him once, but I didn't know him well, but I do know many, many people told me that the business side of the cowboy business as it relates to the PRCA was really, he was fundamental in starting that process, in them, you know, looking at turning the rodeo cowboys into a business. You know, he was on the board for like 16 years, and credited for, you know, making a lot of the movements that helped push them into business. So shout out to him and his family.
You can't even get to the bottom of all of his contributions, and don't underestimate what he did. And you know, my dad helping him as a veterinarian and a timed event cowboy on the animal welfare front. They fought a lot of battles for rodeo, and Jack, you know, he did serve on the board, and that was the era, you know, along with people like, you know, Dale Smith and different people like that. Well, back in that day, I mean, I've listened to so many of Jack's stories over the years. If you wanted to be a whiner or a, you know, pain in the ass or some sort of a turncoat that had no ethics or integrity or whatever, they might take you out. Let's step outside. But then it was done. That really, those things happened. But in a way, you know, it kind of shut down some of the nonsense where in 2025, you know, well, you might get sued if you did that, right? And so, you know, those were kind of like, you know, when men were men and cowboys were cowboys, like they, but the passion in that man's heart for the sport of rodeo, all in. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I can remember a Mesquite rodeo when I was a kid with my dad. If someone had a problem with Mr. Gay, that is Neil Gay, they went out to the shed tack room behind. And I don't know if they named, because you hear Roger Mooney, well, he took that one out to the woodshed. Well, Neil Gay took a bunch back there, and never, according to folklore and while I was on site, did he not walk out first and having conquered the disagreement. And so you're right. But it's a different world now. It's a different, everything's different. It's not fair. I know all of our parents walked to school barefoot on grass spurs uphill in the middle of the desert. And it's always so bad, but there are problems with working in today's atmosphere that weren't a problem back then, social media. So as we start to say, there's just, everything has troubles. They're just different troubles and different fixes.
Well, true. But progress is not always progress. And, you know, there are silly little things, like I'm looking at you right now. I have a pair of those cool little AirPods that go in your ears, and I was wearing them. And then all of a sudden I see on social media that it's like sticking your head in a microwave. And so
thank you.
I'm So I don't have any in right now, and I ordered the old school ones like Greg has there. I reordered, give me the old ones, and I'll have it on speakerphone as much as possible. But do I even know if that's true or not? No. But sometimes... No.
Do you believe everything you read online?
No, absolutely not. But I'm like, what if it's true? What if my brain's being scrambled like an egg? Anyway, we need to keep moving. Shall we talk about feedback?
Well, now this is cool. We're encouraging all of you to go to YouTube and watch this, because in case you've wondered in the past, I wanted to bring this up. Greg reads us the feedback. And there's been some reports that people think Greg may not be able to read because he stutters through there. Well, now, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the text on the screen. And then maybe you'll see why sometimes he has to start over to make sure that the feedback is palatable. So we only have one feedback, but I think it's loaded. So, Greg, you want to lay the feedback on us, and let's see what we think about it.
Yeah, this is from our favorite no spinner in the 502. So with the Nashville Rodeo announcement, seems like Kid Rock Rodeo has started a small movement. Love it or hate it, seems to be working. I don't know, because I never got to watch it, because it's impossible to find along with the American Rodeo. Do you all think that this will be happening more and more? Is it good for athletes? BBB seems to sell out places, but think rodeo athletes is secondary and they don't care who comes. Rodeo athletes don't get paid or recognition as is. If these work, it'll be less. Trevor Brazil, $7 million cowboy, should be worth $1 million for what he has done.
$100 million.
$100 million.
I couldn't agree more with that last sentence. I would. What would I give that Trevor Brazil had earned $100 million? That's like everything that I've worked for. I mean, $7 million's, you know, great, but profit margin is hard to come by. But anyway, Tommy Joe, I can read your mind.
Well, no, I think let's dissect that. Greg, put that back on the screen for me. I want to dissect this because we gotta kind of go through this bit by bit to pull everything out. So with the Nashville Rodeo announcement, it seems like Kid Rock Rodeo has started a small movement. I'm not sure where you're coming from, 502, there. If you mean that Kid Rock was a singer and they packaged a rodeo, they didn't start that. PBR didn't start that. That started in Houston. Okay, that's big acts package with rodeo started in Rodeo Houston from a success standpoint. Then you had the American that did it. So if that's what you're talking about, now, if you're talking about team rodeo, which is what they're packaging with Kid Rock, because the PBR sees success in PBR teams, they now want to bring team rodeo to the rodeo culture. And Kid Rock is supporting that. He's a partner on that with the PBR, and they're doing it together. I'm not sure if you meant the music combined with rodeo, because I've always said this. If you're going to, because he talks about Nashville, which, by the way, I did not know about until our pre-production call. Now, that's sad to say, but I had no idea that there was this Nashville concert rodeo. Okay.
Tell people, because I didn't either, but it's Reba McEntire, Tim McGraw, and Jelly Roll with a rodeo, correct? In Nashville. Coming up in May.
Yes.
10,000 ad per event. 10,000 ad per event.
No. 25,000 an event.
Oh.
25,000 added an event.
Is it a limited entry rodeo?
Well, I wasn't able to dig that, but here's what's interesting is I don't think it's WPRA approved yet. Again, don't have proof of that, but I have not heard, but it is PRCA approved for PRCA sanctioned events at 25,000. And so, yeah, Nashville, you know, Nashville is a good city for this. But you, if you're a promoter, okay, you know, so if you were wondering what BBB is on there that he read, I think that the gentleman from the 502 is talking about Bulls, Bands, and Barrels, a new series of rodeos. It's an open rodeo. They have bull riding and barrel racing, open rodeo. And then they put in a young level, hot country talent crossover so, talent for music.
Clear, it's a showdio. It's not a rodeo if there's only two rodeo events, correct? It's a showdio. A band. Well,
I think that's a degrading statement. So would you call a single event, the Bronc Riding Challenge in Alberta, a showdio because it doesn't have all the events?
No, standalones is one thing, but that's a standalone bronc riding. I'm just saying if you don't.
Is World's Toughest Rodeo a showdio?
It's not a complete rodeo.
It counts for the NFR.
It doesn't include, that's just like a standalone steer roping does too. So there are these different ones. And this is something you and I, this is not worth a friggin' fight. Are you kidding me? This is like apples and, you know, or tomato, tomato. I mean, so all
I'm just saying qualifying part of this is that it's not sanctioned.
To be a sanctioned professional rodeo, you have to have every event to be an actual sanctioned.
Well, it depends on how you define sanctioned, because I'm pretty sure World's Toughest Rodeo can use PRCA marks, and there are only three events.
Okay. Well, a lot of the people in the stands, they're like, we're going to go to the rodeo, and they don't know the difference. So it is a little difficult to me. I was a young reporter when they shut down Slack at Colorado Springs to save the calf roping, and Roy Duval saved the day. So I do strongly appreciate rodeos that have all the events, but I'm not hating on the others at all. So don't pick that fight with me.
Okay, I won't pick that fight with you. I'm just saying that it's kind of random what they approve and don't approve, and very political. That's a three event that I owned at one time. I had no idea that it could be approved because it could never, ever, ever be approved. Then it's approved and counts to the NFR. And so all of that's good. I think that I don't know. I don't know if they're restricting it to protect the credibility of the authentic rodeo. But anyway, Bulls, Bands, and Barrels doesn't really matter. It's an open event, so it doesn't count to the NFR. So, you know, they might have some good athletes. They may not. It kind of depends on the day, probably. And music. So there's that. And then it says rodeo athletes don't get paid or recognized as is. If these work, it will be less. So I'm trying to figure out what the drawback is to having an event in Nashville with Jelly Roll and selling 18,000 seats. And even if 10,000 people come to Jelly Roll, right, and they come a little early and they see rodeo and it makes new fans, you know, I think as long as there's – now, if this event was adding $2,500 or something – you know, but I understand Stay Smith is behind it. Smith Pro Rodeos, that's cool. So I guess, you know, any event that is done well, for me, that puts out a good product, Kendra, that fans would want to come back and see, whatever that combination of the product is, I think that's advantage rodeo, advantage cowboys, advantage me, advantage you. That's my opinion.
I agree. And I'll say, like, something like this that's new, especially in Nashville, you know, it does seem like a natural fit for rodeo. But I just a few short years ago, like, were you in Chicago when the PBR and the WCRA, 50,000 to the champs? It was not, you know, PRCA approved. But we went there and that place was packed in Chicago. That was cool for rodeo. Really cool for rodeo because people, I promise you, there were a lot of people there never seen what cowboy things, you know, cowboy stuff. And it was cool. I had the chills and, you know, people went crazy for rodeo in an unexpected location. So I thought that was great.
Well, I'm on the, there's a day or a, I got some kind of award from the Chicago mayor. So we actually were the first people. This was the Toughest Cowboy Series, the first people to put dirt in that building and come in there and do rodeo in Chicago. Now, we lost six figures to do it. Had a pretty good crowd. It's pretty hard to make it work, which is why I don't think you're going to see the rodeo back in Chicago, just because the finances of the unions and everything, it makes it very difficult. It's very expensive to bring dirt into that building. So I'm glad. I agree with you. The more markets that we can be in with a good product, the better off we are. So I guess 502, I would need a little more clarification. You know, do you not like the team rodeo, or do you just not like the fact that they're packaging music and rodeo? Right.
To that person's final point, that wouldn't it have been great that Trevor Brazil had made $100 million instead of $7 million? If there were more events, more rodeos that added $25,000 per event, he would have won a lot more than $7 million in his second to none career. So it's pretty hard, you know, if it's a good product, you're saying, and I'm saying, and if it's a great event for contestants too, and it's like, if everybody wins, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Now, you could argue that, why do you need a rodeo if you're going to have a Jelly Roll concert or a Tim McGraw concert, right? But if you take Rodeo Houston, the rodeo is the anchor of that brand. They have all these cool acts, but Rodeo Houston would not be Rodeo Houston to the fans that come without the rodeo, right? It's an integral part. It's the foundation of the brand there. And I know that there's some people that come for just the concerts, and they come late and they say, how do you think they sell 77,000 seats? I agree with all that, but still, that there's 25,000 people in there watching rodeo, watching Zeke strum a guitar. And by the way, do you think Zeke actually knows how to play? Do you think any of those guys, Ann Blanker brought up, do you think any of those guys, what are they going to, they're not going to play that. None of them people play the guitar. Do you know a past Houston champion that can play a guitar?
I don't, but that's a damn cool prize. And also, to your point about Houston, they do an extraordinary job on their production, and showing us those replays from various angles is cool as hell. So that is so appreciated. Like, I love it. I watch every replay, and, you know, we get to see, I mean, if somebody breaks out, it's not a mystery. We get to see, like, hardcore fans get to see so much more than the average rodeo. They do a hell of a job.
They do a good job. They've got a lot of toys to play with, and they know how to play with them. And that's a gorgeous venue with a lot of built-in stuff that was built in for sports and the rodeo. And wouldn't we all like to have those toys to play with? And we could all put a fantastic product together.
I got one
for them.
I got one thing I wanted to add to this feedback is that it is, you know, there has been a bunch of these, you know, rodeos followed by concerts. And it's actually pretty common in rodeo. You know, maybe it's not the big names like Nashville does, but we do plenty of rodeos that we end up covering a concert after the performance. So it is not new. They're not reinventing the wheel or anything like that. But it's just a way for a rodeo committee to bring in some extra seats, sell a few more beers, have a really good show for their fans.
Well, and even when we were kids, who doesn't love a good rodeo dance after the rodeo?
Exactly.
Yeah. You get the, but looking at Rodeo Houston, they've had a little few tangos in the carnival parking lot. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh yeah, they got some fighting going on down there in Houston, right by the Ferris wheel.
Passion. Rodeo passion. Yeah.
Well, hope it wasn't the same kind of passion that we saw at Calgary a few years ago. Remember that? Okay, let's move on.
Anyway, hopefully they get the old carnival brawling under control. But I think when you mix that many different cultures and people and stuff, you can have that, because there's a little bit of everything walking through the carnival at Houston. And if you don't believe me, go watch. All right. Well, that's cool. One feedback, a lot to talk about on it. If you want to send us some feedback, Greg, how do they do that?
You can send it to nospinfeedback@gmail.com or text it to 817-668-2395.
That's it. Write it down. Figure that out. Send us some feedback. All you people that are sitting there thinking things, but you don't have the cojones to send us a note, grow a pair. Let's do this. All right. So this next thing, I'm just going to lay it out there because, Kendra, I think we're totally transparent on this show. I want to talk about lots of different stuff, including rodeo. Kendra is very rodeo, and that's much appreciated and probably the value of our entire show. So I'm like, we need a segment where we just talk about random stuff. Well, every time I say that, Kendra says, stupid, cheesy, and that's okay. But as a co-host, this is my segment. So if you, on feedback, you don't like it, send us a note. If you do, it's just like, Kendra, when we found out your favorite vacuum cleaner is a shark. That has nothing to do with rodeo, but, you know, oh, and the shark, how is your shark? Are you riding that thing around like a witch? Is it all going good with the shark still?
The shark's fine. The shark's been kind of hibernating, and I've been using the old-fashioned broom, and I don't need any broom witch comments at the end of this long day. So let's keep rolling.
Did you know one thing? Did you know shark makes a robot vacuum cleaner? We have it. Remember, I told you Donna has every shark. It drives around and vacuums, goes back, unloads, maps every room. So I'm going to let Oat know when he wants to step it up. That's the one.
Oat gave that to my sons when they bought their place in Stephenville as a housewarming gift. The robotic shark. They have that there. Yes.
All right. So this is just going to be, we're going to end this show with just some random stuff. Kendra, you kick off whatever your thought of the day is, whatever topic, random topic that you want to talk about, and Greg and I will chime in.
Okay. Well, it's hard to go a rodeo show without mentioning Trevor, but I just, as a general comment, as a parent, I applaud and admire parents who let their children pick their own passions.
Amen.
And I think it was really cool. The culture in the, you know, Cooper Brazil family, it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, or if you love rodeo or if you love basketball, that family is all in. And the recent example, you know, the matriarch dies the other day. It was February 22nd. I remember this because her beloved little grandson, Tuff Cooper, won San Antonio the night that Mimi died. And he went back to San Antonio and got that buckle. And by the way, at Mimi's service, there's her casket with covered in flowers and Tuff's San Antonio buckle. I'm going to try not to cry at this moment because it touches me. So then a few days later, this same complete family, 1959 NFR Calf Ripper, Clifton Smith included, they all go back to San Antonio just a few days later to watch the state girls basketball tournament. And freshman style Brazil, 14 years old, it had a huge part in the Decatur, was it Lady Eagles, winning their first ever state championship. So cool. And there is, you know, I mean, there they are. And Treston, you know, Shada and Trevor, you know, Shada, NFR Barrel Racer 2. And I can hardly wait to see what their little caboose, Swayze Jane, is going to pick, because there's no telling. She's going to light the world on fire on whatever she chooses. But, you know, Treston, he loves to rope now. And he's out there with his dad and Miles Baker all the time. And his climb up the learning curve is very steep. But these people are raising great humans, and they're And they're all in behind whatever their great young humans decide. They didn't say, well, what else would you be besides a rodeo royal? No. Style. She wanted to play basketball. So here they are. It's really cool. And she already has colleges all over, you know, her doorstep, you know, vying for, and she's 14. That's what a competitor she is in her own chosen field.
Well, I think it's cool. Part of it could be that those of us that are on the road all the time aspire for our kids to maybe do something else, like give them a golf club or something. You know, it was interesting. My boys, they became more interested in rodeo later in life. They went and got engineering degrees all through high school. They were avid baseball players. I coached baseball. You know, they never asked for a saddle horse. You know, we had some cows out in the field. Nick was scared to death of them until he was about 20. You know, and I just wanted them to do what they wanted to do. Now, they still really, I think, respect rodeo, and now they've come back and they're much more engaged in overall rodeo. But it is interesting, and maybe it's because I was gone all the time. Right. They're like, we don't want to do that. Dad was gone all the time. But it is a shout out to any parent, right? That I think it has to do with parents being less self-involved and more involved in their kids' life, right? Instead of, boy, it would sure be nice if we could go rope together because I like roping. Instead, here's a basketball because you love basketball. And I'll learn to shoot hoops with you. And I just think there are really quality human parents out there. And then there are parents that really only are in it for them, if you look at how they take care of their kids and raise them. And that's a bad thing. That's not a good thing. So shout out to the Brazils. That's pretty cool. I saw that. That's pretty cool. And I guarantee you, if we talk to Trevor, he'll say sitting in the stands watching that game was as fun as riding into the 10th round of the NFL. Guarantee it.
And there's something about more nerve-wracking. Yeah.
Something about your kids out there. And now I've got a 3-year-old grandson who's going to play some kind of T-ball, which I don't think will look anything like T-ball. Because when they're 3 years old, I coached 14-year-olds and I couldn't get them to quit blowing flowers out in the outfield. So it'll be interesting to see how the 3-year-old T-ball works. But I'm excited for it. I got the dates. I'm like, I've got to move stuff around because I am going to Asher's T-ball. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's cool. It's cool. Greg, now what your daughter, tell us about her. What is she aspiring to do?
Well, she's inspiring to be like an artist. And, you know, I'm kind of an artist, but I never really push that on her. I always let her kind of do her own path and supported every decision that she made. I did try to push her into basketball and she didn't want anything to do with it. So after a year, we were like, all right, that's fine. So I feel like you have to kind of let them, you got to kind of nudge them along, support them, let them find out like, oh yeah, I do like this, or I don't like this. This is boring. And then let them kind of, you know, do their own path. Cause I think that's the way, you know, when you put so much pressure on a kid to do something that you like, it's not a good parent style for me, at least.
Yeah. But I think there's a happy medium in there. I'm sorry, Kendra, go ahead.
It's okay. All I was about to say is that horses and kids for me are really no different. None of the great horses, say for example, Scamper in the barrel race, you can't, if people or animals, like if they don't love it, you couldn't have, you know, beaten Scamper into being who he was. He loved it. Same with kids. If they're going to thrive when they grow up, if they pick their own passion, that's where they're going to be happy and thrive. What else do we want as parents?
I agree with that, but it's just like food. Right? You set the plate of food down, these new parents on social media. Oh, my kid's going to pick what they want to eat. Well, you know what they're going to pick? They're going to pick dessert. Okay? So you've got to make them take a bite of the green beans. They may not like it. We never made them eat it again, but they had to taste it. If someone wouldn't have taken Scamper out and made a barrel run to see if Scamper liked it, you would never know, right? So I still think we have to encourage, and just like you, Greg, you know, try basketball. Here's the deal with my boys. It was really simple. Nick, who is an avid football player, he's going to play basketball. I said, okay. He starts playing basketball. He said, oh, I hate basketball. I'm not going to play basketball. I said, no, you're finishing the season. You signed up. Coach is in. You better learn to like basketball for one season, right? Because you became a team member. That's what you do. But I think that installs bigger things, that instills bigger things in people that is important. But it's an interesting conversation. I really like it. And so when you said that about that, I wanted to find some random stuff. This will be my portion of this. When you said you were talking about kids not being like their parents, I thought it was very cool. And you may not care if you listen to this podcast or are watching us live on YouTube. Cool thing. You're missing the pictures if you're not doing it. Marilyn Monroe, her daughter, became a school teacher. That seems random to me. And the other random thing that I found looking around is that the dictator Joseph Stalin, so if you're a history buff, Joseph Stalin, his granddaughter currently lives in Portland, Oregon, and runs an antique store. Like, and Kendra's looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? But to me, that's really it. I mean, Stalin, I'm a history guy. You're talking about one of the most evil people, you know, and his granddaughter is, oh, okay, nobody cares. But it's still kind of cool. So, you know, you never know what your kids are going to turn out to do. They may learn from you or, you know.
She chose her own path.
Chose her own path. Chose her own path. Well, we are, how long are we, Greg?
We're just about 50 minutes.
So we're only 5 minutes past the max deadline, which for us is bad A. We did it. High five, screen high five for everybody. We got this done, 49. We're going to come back here every week. Watch us on YouTube. You're going to see pictures you can't see anywhere. You're going to watch Kendra give me the stank eye when I go somewhere she doesn't want to go. You're going to see me throw my shoulders up. You're going to see Greg just be Greg. Watch us on YouTube. Please watch us. You can go back in, watch it later. You can watch it live. Thank you for being here. Episode 49. God bless you all. Final word, Kendra?
Have a great week. See you next week. It's going to be a very fast week with all we have to do between now and then individually, our own little separate roads, but we're stacked up. It's always like, but it's all good.
Travel Greg, around and meet back here on next Tuesday. I'm looking forward to doing this weekly.
Well, the one good news for all of our listeners is I'm going to be totally unprepared, which means that I don't have quite the filter that I should have because I didn't think about what I was going to say, which actually could be a really good thing for all of you guys to laugh at. Anyway, come back and see us next week. This is No Spin Rodeo. Thanks for joining us on YouTube. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate all of you. See you next week.